Hey, happy Monday to everybody. It is Philippians 4, where we find ourselves today as we finish up the book of Philippians, the book of joy. And some things that stand out here today to me as I study this chapter are, first of all, some things that Paul directs the church in Philippi to do, and then things that he directs the church in Philippi or the individual Christians to think. And then he talks about contentment. So let's just walk through these three main parts of this chapter. In verses 4 through 6, he talks about what to do. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. So as I'm reading through these things today, just make a mental note of where are those areas in my life that I really feel like I do, and where are those areas of my life that I want to grow in. So he says, rejoice in the Lord always. So how you doing in that? I'm not rejoicing in the Lord always. I rejoice in the Lord a lot. I don't rejoice in the Lord always. That's a tall order, isn't it? He says, I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. That's one of those fruit of the Spirit that he had earlier talked about. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Now, I don't think that there's many people listening to this today who can say they never experience anxiousness or anxiety. As far as we are able to control it, we are not to be anxious, but in every situation, Paul says, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. We don't want to forget that part. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We are told that we are to present our requests to God. We are to ask God for our needs. And God wants us to ask Him for what we need. Jesus, when He did miracles, oftentimes would want the person to ask Him. When Jesus would say, "What do you need?" He already knew the answer. And God knows the answer, but He wants us to ask Him. That shows that we trust Him, but we're to do it with thanksgiving. Now, I will readily admit that oftentimes when I present my requests to God, I can't really say I'm doing it with a heart of thanksgiving, especially during those dark hours, those dark times, those times of grief, and those times of deep hurt. I don't really think about approaching God with my requests with thanksgiving. And that's something that I'm committing as I read this today to doing myself. And so he says we're to present our requests to God. Now here's the result. If we do these things, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, some versions say all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, if we rejoice in God, and if we're gentle, and if we work on not being anxious, but instead with thanksgiving pray to God, then Paul says that God's peace, which is not understandable by human ways of thinking, will guard our hearts and our minds. So then he goes on right after this, and he talks about how we should think. So once again here, as I go through this list, do a little assessment here and ask yourself if these are things that you think of or things that you regularly think. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, do you think about God's truth? Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. So that list again, whatever's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. That's what we're supposed to think about. So think about your pattern of thinking. This last passage that I want to share with you today is a very popular passage. Well, the last verse of this is very popular. From verse 11, though, to 13, it's very important that we read this in context. You probably have heard of verse 13, I can do all things, or I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength. But do you know the context of that? Because that's a pretty broad promise. That's a pretty amazing statement. If we can do anything through God who gives us strength, does that mean that I could be in the NBA? No, not at 50 years old, and not at 20 years old, and not at 30 years old for me. Does that mean that we could all be master musicians or famous artists? No, it doesn't mean, that's not a promise that we can just take and take it out of its context. This whole passage here, these verses from 11 to 13, Paul is still talking about how he has trained himself to think. He says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. You see, Paul had experienced both, hadn't he? I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Did you see what happened there? He says he's learned the secret of being content, no matter if things are going great or if things are going bad, but yet he doesn't seem to state what the secret is. Well, I'm going to tell you the secret. Paul decided to think about whatever is true, whatever is noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Paul chose to change the way he thought. And because he changed the way he thought, this man who had been a wealthy Pharisee, who is now poor and imprisoned, can now find contentment, because contentment should not be determined on our circumstances. It should be determined on who we are in Christ. Something to think about today as you finish out Philippians. I'll be back with you again tomorrow.